it made me realize that there was a beginning before the beginning.
Right.
When you read the Bible, if you're a Christian, it says in the beginning, before even man was created, God spoke to things, to some things that helped create the world. He said, let there be. There was somebody he was talking to.
Right.
There was no human then, but there was somebody he was talking to. This is before Christ.
Right.
This is before any other questions that we have that our church leaders don't answer. But if you read the book of Jeremiah, there's a verse. I don't know. I'm not very familiar with what verse it was. But God was speaking to somebody and he said, before you were born, I knew who you were.
I knew who you were.
I know how you were created. I already formed you. So basically, spirit came before physical.
Right.
Spirit came before the body.
Right.
So there has to be a history that was before that. Also, like by the time the missionaries came in the 17th century to Africa to bring the Bibles and all that, they found evidence in Egypt that their ancestral worship styles,
right,
all these carvings, they already had resembling stories just like the Bible,
right,
about Jesus, about Cain and Abel, the first
Cain and
murder,
yeah,
suicide, murder, homicide,
right.
So, in your understanding, the way you believe in spirituality is you want to connect to that part. You want to know that history that was taken away.
And that is who we are.
Correct.
Because our African ancestors, in the African spirituality system, like we are spiritual first before we came into this physical realm.
Correct.
So when somebody dies, they're not dead. It's just this physical body that is done. But they go into a different realm.
Good.
Right?
Yes.
So when our ancestors used to pour like basin, they put drinks, you know, on the ground. And
you know, it was actually a celebration when you think about it. We were looking forward to that. My cousin can tell you, one of the things that I always talk about in the negative light is a lot of people in Africa celebrate funerals. They get happy. Yes. It's easier to get a fundraising when you're dead on what's up than when you're alive. Before, I used to misunderstand it, but now I understand it like people are celebrating.
It's a celebration.
The spirit is let loose.
Exactly.
The spirit is free.
Right, right.
Continue.
Because when you, all that celebration that they do,
correct,
is for you to make your journey back into the spiritual realm where you came from. And that is what they do their funeral celebration for.
For students who are not familiar with African spirituality, would be, for a beginner, how would you tell them how it relates to us here, like here in North Seattle, our community? How do you think it relates to them if we were to go? Because you've spoken about this in institutions. How is it relevant to them now? Because some people think, man, that's retro, that's right, back in the day, that's juju,
right,
that's a dark magic. How would you relate that to today?
Yeah. So like you said, it's been demonized, right? Because it's just Christianity came. And see, back then, a lot of the practices that we do,
correct,
you know, our elders did not explain a lot of things to us.
Yeah.
Right? For example, a perfect example, let's say when a king dies, right, back then,
yes,
you know, they say, and that's what they claim, that they, you know, they'll kill people to accompany the dead person.
The spirit.
For the spirit to make it into, you know, to be the servant in
over
the spiritual
there.
World.
Correct, yeah.
Which is not true. You know, that's a complete fallacy.
That's a complete fallacy, yeah.
Let's say when a king dies, the person is so great as a person that they don't want there's some sacrifice and there's some spiritual stuff they got to do. That has to be done in secret. Not everybody
knows about it.
Know about it, exactly.
It's vows.
So they put out this thing that, hey, if we catch you outside, we're going to kill you.
Correct.
And you're going to accompany the dead into the spiritual realm.
Correct.
So that people will be scared and not come out.
Correct.
But today, I see a lot of funeral celebrations on YouTube.
Yes, I see
that. Today, when you look at any funeral celebration, you see kids. The dead body is there and kids playing around and just don't care.
They don't feel like they're scared, like how we were. Like,
exactly.
Don't touch it. Yeah.
Back then, you'd be so scared to go see
it. Man, I would think that this ghost will come chase me in my dreams and cause me nightmares.
Exactly.
But now, when I go to a funeral, I'm like, yo, he's good. I remember there was a funeral of, shout out to Elijah Lewis. Remember him?
Yeah, I met him once.
Great guy. Rest in power, my guy. Yeah. When I went to his funeral, we had a virgil up there in Capitol Hill. And I remember everybody was sad and crying. Me and this comedian called Laura, a good comedian here in Seattle, Reliance, we were there. But me, I was laughing with people.
Right.
And the people, some of the guys were like getting agitated. Like, why are you not respecting while we're here?
Right.
And I'm like, just because you mourn in that manner, I don't mourn him like he's gone.
Exactly.
I mourn him like, yo, I'm done with the sufferings of this world and everybody demanding my time.
Yeah.
I'm now watching over you. Because there's no place that's been documented where they say the spirit died.
Nope. And even they teach us in science that they said atoms, matter, energy can never be created nor destroyed.
Think about it.
So humans, we are energy, right?
That's always...
So when you die, you simply transform into a different realm. You don't die, you don't get created. You already there, and you come here for a period of time, and when your time is up, you leave, you go back into a different realm.
The part of African spirituality that I tapped into a lot, and I'm speaking about something that happened recently, when the pandemic happened.
Right.
The doctors didn't have answers. The religious leaders didn't have answers.
Right.
Yes, we had the medicine going around, which right now we're not going to get if it was fake or not, because even the people who are not vaccinated are still walking around, as they're saying. So I'm not even going to get there, because that's another day, a story for another day.
Right.
But I realized that every time you went to hospital, this happens to everybody. They don't work on your body. Like, hey, let's analyze your body. They keep asking you questions.
Questions, yep.
Same question you should have asked when gospel came to Africa. Before, what's the history? If you had diabetes before, whatever this body is thinking right now, it's not about you. It's about your history.
Exactly.
What was given to you. So some of the spirits we carry, even through our families, through ourselves, they're not us. They were passed on.
Exactly.
Descendants of descendants of descendants.
Yeah.
Now, to you as a spiritual one, what are some of the misconceptions and stereotypes about spirituality in Africa, especially Ghana, that you'd like to be like, bro, don't do that.
And
that's not what it is. Whatever you, when they slaughter an animal or they drink something, it's part of respect, pathway to feed and show them that. How would you explain to somebody who has never been in that world?
Right. So the energies that we don't see, right, and those energies. That is, it's just like you have a car. You got to put gas in it in order to move. Right? So the energies, that's the fuel in order to do what they do in the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
So you got to, part of the things that we got to do is we got to, every now and then sacrifice some, sheep for them, pour libation. That is all the energy that we are, the fuel that we give to them. For them to do their job, for them to do what they do.
And in the Bible too, remember? They wanted Abraham to sacrifice his son, and the first homicide again, there was a sacrifice, and God wanted the blood over vegetables.
Exactly. But now they say that Jesus came and died and changed everything, so now we don't have to do that, those things again, which is bullshit.
Yeah, because it's still, those spirits are still alive.
Exactly.
That part of the world is still alive.
It's still there.
Correct.
So, and when you go to different places in Africa, they still practice that.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at those people who still practice that, they are more powerful.
Okay.
Those people are still powerful and, they're there and nothing happened to them. What I believe that when Christianity was brought to Africa, some of the reasons that made it so popular was that they said that, hey, all you got to do is go to church and confess your sins. Do you want to tell me that if I come to your house and I come and steal your iPhone, which it took hard work to get it,
correct.
I would take your iPhone and then walk into the church and talk in the air to confess about it and I'm forgiven.
There's no actual, like repercussions.
Exactly.
Actually, there's no, this is what I'm going to do. Because the New Testament, according to my limited gospel knowledge, is a faster, easier pathway to God and Jesus.
Right.
But if we are speaking about African spirituality, which was like before Christ and before the Bibles,
right?
How long did it take people to get forgiven? When Jesus was out there in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, no one recorded it, right? He went alone.
Right.
So how did we get the information of what he said and what kind of prayer he said? If it's just him and that. He probably told the disciples, correct? But there was a spirit there.
Right.
That spirit was not blink, say three verses and leave. He had to spend that much time.
Right.
So I believe African spirituality should be given the same amount of respect. Considering that some people are not Christian, Zulu, Shona, Swahili, the guys up in Egypt, the guys up in Ethiopia, and they still are thriving. Mansa Musa, the richest people in Africa at that time, that was before
the Bible. Christianity.
So how are they blessed? How did they get there? Then they say Jesus is from Africa. They say Jesus is black.
Yeah, that's an argument that people make. Oh, Jesus is black. Jesus is whatever.
He's definitely black, bro. He was an immigrant without papers. He was there born somewhere. He was being chased around. You think that was a guy born in privilege? That guy was like a refugee from Somalia or Ukraine at this point. When you think about it, he was being chased around. They're almost killing all the boys. He wasn't born into wealth. There's no way he was not black. Continue, bro. Yeah. Probably his credit was horrible too.
But bottom line is, before Jesus,
correct.
You know, the people back then were thriving.
Think about
it. You know, they did a lot of great things.
Yeah.
Some of which we cannot even fathom today. Right? A lot of the things that they did back then, we can't even
imagine right now.
Yeah.
To think that the diseases we have now,
it was not there back then.
How are they knowing the diseases? Who are speaking to the spirits? They would say that the spirits would tell maybe a community leader who's gonna be the next chief. It would come to them to win wars.
Uh-huh.
All these movies they're making right now, like the warrior, woman king.
Woman king, I've seen that.
There's somewhere they went, which sometimes they omit from the stories because they don't want it to look so dark.
Right.
But there's a place they used to go. Remember when they said N'Challa was stripped off on Black Panther?
Yeah.
What was that? That's African spirituality.
Yeah.
They were right there. Why did they have to go to the waterfalls to do the battle with the other guy? That's African spirituality.
That's African. And a lot of the movies that are coming out, they sprinkle pieces of it in there. Like when you look at the Woman King, right? You realize that each time they go to war, they come back and they pour libation.
Correct.
In the backyard.
They actually put libation in the movie too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see all of that. And those were all African spirituality.
Correct.
You offer drinks to your ancestors who have come here, lived up here on this earth.
It's a gift. It's a customary thing to show that you're hospitable.
Exactly.
You're not selfish.
Yeah.
They bless you, you give back.
Exactly. Correct. You know, so we do all of these things. But the misconception is that, you know, when Christianity came, they deem all of these things as demonic, evil things, voodoo, you know, all kinds of names, so that people remember, and I'm sure you've gone through this before.
Talk to me.
That back then, right?
Yeah.
Let's say you and your boys, right? There's a new girl in town.
Correct.
That everybody wants this girl.
Yeah.
I'm talking about back home, right?
Back home, yeah.
Then somebody will come around and start dissing the girl to everybody. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that
nobody
want to talk to that girl.
But that one
person. But secretly,
yeah.
He's going around talking to this girl.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly how Christianity was. It's like
repel, capture, repel. Yeah. Yes.
So that you flock, all of you guys will flock to this new thing. And that's what, you know, that's what they did. And also, African gods, in African spirituality, like there's a god in every family.
In every community too.
In every community too.
How many gods are in
one
India?
Of these days we can come here and talk about, you know, God, African gods.
Good.
And you know, all of that.
Yeah.
But also I know back then I know that if I come and steal your iPhone, your God is gonna kill me.
So punishment by death.
And it was instant justice.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's what they knew. But Christianity came and promise them, hey, I steal your iPhone, I can go somewhere and confess it without you even knowing
without you feeling like, and they say, I remember this verse, we used to be mad about it, but then people in school used to say, revenge is for the Lord.
Uh-huh.
So God is God, which is okay, which is acceptable, God the Father, great, amazing.
Right.
But what about the African spirituality where people used to have their own form of justice and people do not have as much conflict as we have right now?
Yeah, because that was the thing. You know, it's justice. African Correct. System is justice.
Correct.
If I steal your stuff, your God is going to deal with me.
Correct.
So I'm not going to come to you.
That's why crime is low.
That's why crime was low.
Yeah.
But with Christianity, with religion, you know, I'm not just going to limit it to Christianity, but I would say religion.
Religion, let's do religion.
You know,
yeah.
There's this thing that, oh, God will do it.
Pacify.
God will handle it.
Pacify.
You know, and yeah. Exactly. So, you know, I can come steal your stuff. I can come kill you. I can come do this, all of these things. Mm. And then you on the other hand, is sitting down thinking, oh, God will handle it. God will handle it.
Correct.
But when we come to African spirituality, your God, you just present it to your God. Your God even know before you even go to him or her to speak to them about it. So they even know. And whatever you want to happen to the person who stole your phone is going to happen to them. If you want them to die, it's going to happen. If they want them to whatever you want, that is going to happen.
And also, the other thing that I was questioning a lot at that time was religion or spirituality is about love.
Right.
If we are to accommodate others, right?
Uh-huh.
For example, I host events, right?
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I host events, like sometimes Indian weddings, and they don't eat meat at right. all. Uh-huh. I have to respect that my favorite prime rib is somebody's God. I can't eat exactly. it around that person. I can't force my Christianity on that person
uh-huh.
if that's their God. They see yep. they see a God. I see somebody who needs to be put on a skillet.
So let me go back and say this. And back then, right, the whole concept of God before religion came
correct.
Was that our ancestors believed mm-hmm. that, and I'm going to do a metaphor,
mm-hmm.
like imagine the electricity that's flowing through here, you
yeah.
know, recharging
the powers, and yeah.
we got these microphones,
yes.
it's all plugged in, right?
Yes.
So the source of the electricity, the power plant or the dam,
yeah.
wherever the electricity comes from, we don't even know where it's coming from.
We think it's water. Yes, we have found ways to like churn it up and throw it in hydro or whatever, but
exactly.
we don't really know where it comes
but
from.
That all we know is that, hey, I plug in my cell phone and it works.
It
I
works.
Plug in my TV
and it works.
I'm watching it, right? Mm-hmm. But what they've done is that the main source where the electricity is coming from, they've turned the power over there. It's so great that I cannot take my cell phone and go there to plug it in there.
They have to channel different ways to bring it all the way down.
Exactly. So the power, the amount of power that's coming, it's
going
to kill me.
Correct.
Right? So yeah. what they've done is that they've channeled it and they bring the power down. They put them into transformers, into all these tensions. You know, exactly. And the one that comes to your house as a plug is the one that is very
lowest,
low.
It's not yet.
At your level.
Correct.
So that you can safely plug in your cell phone or your TV or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it will work without it killing you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So the African spirituality, they view God as that. God is the creator of all things.
It's too powerful.
It's too powerful
for you to
find
just...
You cannot go to him. Nobody even know where he or she is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot just go in front of him and be like, oh, I need this or I need that.
So it's like it's a whole performance. It's like a ritual.
Exactly.
It's like, think about it. This is why sometimes I have conflict with people. When you go to the president,
uh-huh.
right now President Biden, you can't just walk
you
up to him.
You cannot just walk up to him.
So how are you going to just walk up to God? No gifts,
nothing.
No nothing.
You're like, hey God, I need food.
Like, I said, just give me some. Like it's like, it's supposed to be we serving him.
Exactly.
But now he looks like he's serving us.
Yep. But in the actuality,
correct.
God is the one that is our server. We don't serve God. God serves us.
Yes.
Because we were put here for a purpose.
Correct.
Right. And everything that we need. That energy called God. I call it energy.
Energy.
But for the
energy.
Purpose of this conversation, okay. let's just, you know, call him God.
Good.
God has all the tools, right? So we need to connect
to the tools.
To God in order to download the tools. The tools are already in us.
Yeah.
And so back to the analogy that I was making, that so the God, the Almighty, you know, the creator of all things, nobody knows where he is.
Correct.
Right? But all the things that he created
and around us,
he put a piece of him in all his creation.
As we look like him.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that whenever we need something for him, we can go to his creation. We can go to the rivers for stuff. We can go to another humans for stuff. We can go to the stones.
He's somewhere with
us. We can go to all things nature. Mm-hmm. And that's why you were saying that people are worshiping bulls. Because that is nature. God
for
created
them.
It.
Yes, correct.
And there's God in that animal.
Correct.
And that's why they connect that animal in order to get to God. So that's what it is. And then when religion came, it demonized all these things.
All these
why are you serving animals?
Quit.
Why are you doing this? It's not just serving animals. We highly revere all these things because it's nature and God created all these things,
mm-hmm.
right? And God has it too. So let's say if we need something, if I need something, like we're making this podcast,
Quit.
We have to come together.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I have to recognize that you are God.
Quit.
And so I can come to you in order for us to do this and make it happen.
Good.
Right? If we need healing, we can go to the plants
and
whatever.
Water, the
water,
water
and everything. And
meditation,
and,
whatever.
And we do meditation and all of that, knowing that nature is God. Mm-hmm. So when we go to nature, we connect to God. And that's what African spirituality is all about.
African spirituality, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please drop them after the podcast. My brother right here is very gentle with these topics. He's really nice to everybody. We are allowing all types of dialogue. We love discussions. We love debates. We want to know what you think. So please remember, subscribe and let us know what you think about this episode. So I have another question for you, my brother.
All right.
Are there any specific rituals or practices within the African spirituality mm-hmm. that have gained popularity or recognition beyond Africa? I have seen like Brazilian culture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They have like festivals where they dance and they have like a festival of the dead, like the ones in Mexico, they have festival. They are everywhere. They have sprinkles of Africa in it, but they have evolved and recultured with the different people. I've seen France, they have different dances for like this is a, I think it's like traditional, what was it called? I need to get that back.
Yeah,
but I can feel that there's some Africanism in some of these cultures being poured out in Haiti, in Jamaica, in Port-la-France, right? So what are some of the practices you think that a modern world has adapted from African spirituality?
See, the thing is, everything that we see today originated from Africa, right? It comes from the African.
Right.
So it's like when time goes on and as we evolve, we take something and slowly as we evolve, we modernize it, we add different things to it.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever you see, you can trace it all the way back to Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where the original one is. Like we live in America.
Right.
We know that here, the culture here is kind of like, you know,
yes,
surface level,
yeah.
Right. You see pieces of different cultures in
come here together.
Exactly.
Especially with everybody now, like America being the hot pot, the crock pot, the buffet of cultures, right? Everybody's coming here, the whole mix. So there's influences everywhere.
Exactly.
Continue.
Yeah. So that's what we see. And whatever you follow, you can trace it all the way to Africa.
Correct.
And that's what it is.
So if you are unfamiliar with African spirituality, please go Google. You might find that some of the dances you do in this club are from African spirituality and you just don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to us.
Exactly. Hold on. Before you go, recently they crowned King Charles.
Yeah, yeah, in London.
In London. If you watch their celebration closely, before anything, they brought a stone into the picture. They did rituals for the stone.
Around the stone, correct.
And then after that, they gave him the Bible. And, you know, the Bible is just a decoy. That's what I would say.
For whatever they were doing at that
for
day.
Whatever they were doing.
Correct.
But when you really look into it,
mm-hmm.
it was the stone That was a main thing because, and we have this in our African, you know, spirituality system. Before a king is crowned, you know, we do all these rituals because when you go into that, you know, we have the stones, which is nature, and, you know, some of the stones have powers. And even when you go to different religions,
they have the corals and stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Like, you know, when Muslims go to the, you know, to Mecca every year, kissing the black stone and all of that.
There's a reason.
It's stones, right?
Cool. Yeah.
So, you know, we have all of these in Africa, but we've been made to demonize ours.
Everybody else is cool. They can
everybody
do the tarot cards. They can do the, that will sprinkle the stone.
But you can trace it all to Africa.
Correct.
Yeah.
We did that before.
Exactly.
Where's that place? This country? Is it small? Is it Ghana, Gambia, where they have the like the juju dance? This guy comes in and does all this turn, and then they throw this big basket, this big thing of hay, they just dance around, and there's nobody in it.
Yeah, that was Ghana.
And everybody goes there for that annual festival. They are told, look inside, there's nobody in here.
Yep.
Why is it moving? Until today,
yep.
One of the biggest attractions, one of the biggest festival attractions down there. Now, there are some people who question that, yes, there's African spirituality and other religions and other spaces, but how does African spirituality foster a sense of community and interconnectedness? We're talking about, you know, we have social issues right now. Yeah, racism, income inequality, the marriage relationship dynamics that have shifted between America, of course, and Africa, because Africa is traditional.
Right.
Prime example in Africa, with African spirituality, there's no cheating.
You said cheating?
There's no cheating.
Right, right.
Monogamy is a construct of Christianity.
Right, right. But, yep.
My grandfather had 12 wives.
My
other grandfather had six wives.
Six.
There were so many. Actually, I am from a lineage of the step family,
right.
Not the real one.
Okay.
She used to just come see my grandmother like once a week because mom was not cool. But all that. But looking at that, how does it address those issues and not conflict with how we live right now in this century?
So, right now, we see this as the norm.
Correct.
Right? So, since we see this, like, monogamy as a norm, then anything outside of that, people frown upon.
Vilify, demonize it.
Exactly.
You're cheating, you're hurting, you're... Yeah.
But the question we don't ask is that, back then, it was working.
And it was perfect.
People were okay with it.
There were families
thriving. There were families thriving off of it. So the question is, how did we get here, right? Because it was working.
People are happy.
People were happier, you know, back then. But now we have monogamy, and people are not happy.
People are not happy, even in monogamy.
Right.
Even within monogamy.
Right.
There's this sense, which we had this podcast, I was a guest the other day, and I asked my lady co-host at that time, that if monogamy is working, why is the energy in the air so bad about relationships? Because we all know in the African spirituality world that one person cannot give you everything.
Right, exactly.
You're building a brand. Saw this story about Davido the other day. Shout out to my man Davido, by the way. Shout out to my Davido. But I believe that some people have been empowered spiritually as Africans for you to serve.
Right.
And this is the Bible too. And I don't know why people debate a lot. That majority, remember when Abraham couldn't have a baby? He went to the servant.
Right.
Which was okay.
Which
was okay. In this world, they call it like now open marriage, but it's not supposed to be open, it's supposed to be a unit. When Solomon, the wisest man, the guy who had all the wisdom, was that wisdom only limited to one person?
No.
He had all his wives and all his concubines who coexisted in a peaceful way.
Right.
Because they all knew for the greatness of this guy to exude and serve his people, we can't limit him.
Right. And everybody has to play their role in helping him become as great as he was.
Do you think the sexism, chauvinism, feminism, all the isms that came after that have divided us? Because back then, there are more angry women right now, and angry men right now.
Right.
in the monotone, monochrome world than how it was when the world was just in abundance. And like my grandfather, there was no any of his wives who ever made a TikTok saying they don't need men. You know, so everybody was like, they knew today's my day to get it. Uh-huh. There was no cheating, by the way.
Exactly.
Everybody just knew this is my role. What do you think has changed the world? Do you think we've got a little selfish after we stepped out?
Oh, I think, and I might get in trouble for this.
Ah, bro, we just talked, bro. You're good.
You know, uh-huh. when monogamy, right? Mm-hmm. I strongly believe that the monogamy is a causes of all these relationship problems.
Correct. Because we're expecting from one person.
We're expecting everything in one person, which one person cannot provide it all, right? Because different people
want
different things.
It's impossible.
Exactly. Can't. So when you're expecting everything from this one woman and it's not, you know, they don't have it,
correct,
then you are forced to step outside. You want to go do something else.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, they find out and it creates all, you know, all kind of problems.
Correct. Yeah.
However, with polygamy, right, you know, and this is why I said I'm going to get in trouble.
Right.
It's like when a woman knows that there's other women in the picture.
Correct.
Right? It kind of forces them to act right.
Because you think it's like more like, hey, it's just, I'm not the only chandelier
I'm
in the
not
house.
The only, exactly.
Correct.
So if I don't act right, I'm not going to get this man's attention. So they got to act right in order to, you know, gain this man's attention.
Mm-hmm.
However, in today, I know it's only me.
It's only me.
So whatever I do, you go to work, you're still coming back.
You're coming back to me.
So it kind of creates that. It's like, hey, you know, I can do whatever I want to do.
And you're not going to go.
You have no choice. You're not going anywhere. You're still coming here.
And speaking about it, you know, divorce costs a man more than a girl. It's cheaper to keep her. So everybody's not trying to step out because that divorce will rattle you. That's how you make Kanye crazy. Oh, man. Talk about it.
Yeah, the quickest way to make a man crazy today.
Divorce, bro. The quickest way to lose your mind. Yeah, don't step. If you're married, just don't step up, bro. Chill. Now, in spirituality speaking, when we look at that dynamic you just mentioned right now, have we shifted from worshiping the higher being, the higher tier, the higher spirit,
right,
to worshiping people because we're afraid of losing? Because I feel within the African spirituality, we were supposed to all work towards pleasing and serving and delivering our mission as spirits.
Exactly.
But when we're limited now to a person, we become like we're worshiping somebody.
Right, right.
Our goal, our mantra, what was supposed to be our mission in this life becomes a person.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of
the higher being,
the person who gave you that,
right?
And like you said, African spirituality, we celebrated death because it's your end of your journey,
right?
That's where your story ends. This is where your last chapter is. But now we are scared of death. We have embraced the body more than the spirit.
Yeah.
When the guys who just drowned. With the Titanic. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm not rich, bro. I'm so glad I'm not rich. You know, sometimes I'm so scared. I want to be rich. You know, back in the day, they said that rich people don't wear Gucci belts. Rich people don't wear Rolexes or fancy clothes.
Yep.
But they've been doing some dumb shit with their money, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like going to space for 5 seconds. You saw that shit? They're talking about going there for like $500,000 for like 10 minutes in space. That's dumb.
Yeah.
But anyway, respect to the families of the guys who are lost.
Mm-hmm.
But when everybody was saying they died, in the African spirituality, they were on a mission down there.
Right.
Things that a lot of us don't even have courage to do.
Mm-hmm.
They went down there.
Right.
Things that 90% of the world will never do.
Exactly.
Which is I'm always thinking, who discovered electricity? The first person to discover electricity, I'm sure there was some fatalities.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the first person to discover guns, I'm sure there was fatalities. Sugar, what else, bro? Whiskey, everything.
Yeah.
Somebody, it came at a cost.
Even the cars we drive,
even
every
the
day,
people
die. Into accidents all the time and people die.
When people went to Dubai for the World Cup, People died so that the stadiums could be the way they are.
Right.
So that we can watch the games peacefully.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it's one of those, when you look at it from a lens of an African spirituality, it's one of those sacrifices that are necessary for the advancement.
Exactly.
Of technology, for the advancement of human relationships. There has to be that.
Exactly. There's always some kind of sacrifice.
Correct.
You know, nothing is free in this world. There's always some kind of sacrifice.
And it's in the Bible too that God wanted sacrifice.
Exactly.
It was always like, you have to offer something. You want to know
God's favorite meat?
Human meat.
No. God's favorite meat is, according to the Christianity,
correct.
God's favorite meat is sheep. Because every time he will call somebody,
I want sheep.
I want sheep. You got to sacrifice one for me.
A fat one too. Anyway, brothers, thank you guys for listening to us. Man, I hope you're enjoying the show today. I have a few more questions. I know this has been running, but I want to ask you a few more questions. As a practitioner of African spirituality, are there any people who have influenced you in your journey of African spiritualism? Anybody you listen to? Anybody, books you read? How do you nourish your African spirituality? How did you get the knowledge you have now? Because it was not in the system. It was not in the education system. How did you get there? You had to go home? Who put you on?
Oh, most definitely. There are people who have, you know, influenced me in this direction.
Yeah.
And it's just like you said, it's not out there like that. They're not teaching that in schools.
Correct.
You know, they're not teaching that thing in churches. So you have to be hungry for that kind of knowledge.
Correct.
You know, in order to go out there, you know, look for it. There's this one spiritualist. He's called Asafo Kojo-Bensah.
Okay.
Like, I listen to his stuff a lot. And actually, shout out to Asafo Kojo-Bensah.
Shout out, bro. Yeah, shout out. Uh-huh.
Watch his video. Uh-huh. You know, he's been an influence in my life. And they actually did a spiritual diagnosis.
Correct.
From him. And that was when I realized, you know, a lot of, you know, my journey, like in the let me go back. In the African spiritual system, right? Now we don't practice it as much and it's coming back. But back then, when a woman conceives, right, they go out there and find out who is coming. Because it might be an ancestor who's
sort of reincarnated to
come back again.
Correct.
So they go out there and they find out who is coming, right? And then once they know who is coming, they give the kid a name based on what the kid is coming here to do.
The last name had power.
The names have power. And one day we can talk about names and their powers.
And then their powers
and
what
the
they
different
bring.
Gods. Correct. That influence those, you know, different
the different dynamics.
Exactly. So they give the kid a name based on what the kid is coming here to do.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that was when they created this saying that it takes a community
to raise a kid. Correct.
Because back then, the whole village
had to instill
everything, the discipline and all of those good, you know, manners in the kid. Because everybody know this kid is supposed to be great. He's not supposed to be doing this. So when a random person sees a kid somewhere doing something that is contrary to what they're here to do, they know that, hey, you're not supposed to be doing this. You are a great person. And this is not what you're supposed to be doing.
You're not representing yourself.
Exactly.
You're representing all of us.
Exactly.
When you are a doctor, and I remember we had this discussion with a friend of mine. Remember the incident that happened on Juneteenth where these kids attacked these people at McDonald's? Somewhere. I don't know if it's Chicago or Detroit, somewhere. And they jumped them. They were angry. And everybody was like, oh, you know, these kids, you know, this is a system where parents don't spend enough time with the children. So the children are now like running around, they're always fighting. You see all the videos from girls in South Center punching each other. And I told my American friend, like, you know, in Africa, this is not something you see. Because if you knew how many of my neighbors whoop my ass, they would whoop my ass. And then when my mom comes, he gives me the bonus whooping my ass. Thank you for watching for him. We were going to school and I once saw my mom beat up somebody's kid. I'm like, you're beating him like you know him. I'm like, I know the mom. I'm like, but she does not pay you to deliver those asshole things. Like, she just starts slapping this kid. But I right now as an adult, I see the benefit.
Exactly.
Because we're all watching out for each other.
Uh-huh.
So, in an American system, what do you think parents could adopt? Even if it's just a graduate with African spirituality.
Right.
building communities that can help their children. Because the way we work, bro, parents cannot be there for their kids. It's expensive. Right. This economy is crazy right now.
It is crazy.
No one is going to be like paying somebody to watch your kids. The kids have no money by themselves. Mm-hmm. Majority of the time.
Right.
So how can we find a way to use African spirituality to influence how we raise our children?
So I think here, you know, we have this individualism culture here.
Terrible.
Which, by the way, I mean, they all have their advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things is like, you cannot even, you know, when you see a kid doing something wrong, you can, you even scared to go out there and, you know, correct
the kid, like, yeah. Hey,
you're not supposed to be doing that.
This is not what you're doing.
Exactly.
And the kid will say, why are you talking to me? You're not my dad.
You're not my dad, you know, and there can even be lawsuits and all of that.
You don't want that stuff.
You know, right? Which you don't want that stuff. So everybody minds their own business.
Good.
You know, which I think that if there's a lot, the community is involved, you know, things can get better over here.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it first from my brother, Owusu, about African spirituality. We're going to dive more. We're going to have more episodes because this is a new phase of what we're going to do. Serious topics that affect our communities, things that we want to learn and unlearn about ourselves and our past.
Exactly.
Because these questions will start bothering you sometime.
Yeah, and I advise everybody to don't just listen to me and what we're talking about. Just go out there.
Do your research.
Do your research. Learn about your history beyond slavery.
Correct.
Don't just take whatever they give to you in school. You know, learn beyond that. Challenge yourself. Because I can emphatically say that the reason why you are a Christian, the reason why you're Muslim or whatever religion you belong to is because you were born into a family who were already practicing that.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. And at some point of your life, you need to challenge yourself. You need to challenge your belief system. When the same way that when you go to the gym, you try to lift more heavier weights than the previous time.
To push
better and challenge yourself for your muscles to grow.
Correct.
With that same way, we need to challenge our belief systems and everything we know. Ask questions. Don't just sit there and be like, oh, God will do it or whatever. We need to ask questions. We need to study, you know, study our history. Go back to beyond slavery.
Correct.
And see what you can, you know, uncover for yourself. Because this is crucial. Because in order to move forward in life, we need to know our past. Mm-hmm. Let's say we are in Shoreline right now.
Good.
And let's say we're trying to go to Linwood. Let's say we're trying to go to Seattle.
Good.
Right? And if we don't know that we're in Shoreline,
how are we going to go to Seattle?
Exactly.
How are we going to get the ETA of the time to get there?
We might even start heading north.
We're going to head here and we're going to head up in Spokane.
But once you know the past, once you know where you are, it makes it easier to project into the future.
Correct.
So I encourage everybody to just learn your history. You know, just beyond slavery, that's what I recommend. And you're going to discover a whole lot of things for yourself. You're going to discover a different world that you never knew existed.
And for the guys, where you are not offending anybody on this show, you do have to understand that we can peacefully coexist with different beliefs and different takes.
Right.
We can be both Christians and still believe in African spirituality.
Exactly.
The thing about it is just the knowledge. Comprehensive understanding of spirituality that did not start with slavery or colonization.
Exactly.
Because they said in Africa, we blinked, we got Bibles, we lost land. Okay, so we got to find out. Okay. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into this show again. We'll be having more episodes coming on to you. This show was sponsored by Phenomenal Tea. If you're a man and you have problems charging your phone, the big phone, the iPhone 17, depending on how many inches you have. Me, I was not blessed like that. I have iPhone 14, small inch. But if you're blessed, but the iPhone does not want to charge, this tea right here, sometimes I mix it with scotch. And it helps me deliver all the apps, download everything, screenshot everything. Tombo is working. So go get yourself Phenomenal Tea. My brother here is the CEO of the company. You want to give a small description of what this is?
Yeah. So what Phenomenal Tea is about is an herbal luxury herbal supplement in a T form that is, you know, helps men with, you know, increasing testosterone levels. And we know that, you know, from research, from science, and from the studies that testosterone is low. So, you know, this tea helps, you know, increase your testosterone levels, build energy and stamina, increase your libido and performance, and also help you last longer in the bedroom. So if you're a man and you want to have problems, like my brother says, charging your
charge it
and going the long distance.
When you go there.
Phenomenal tea. This is exactly what you need.
Your
and this is all natural ingredients.
Exactly.
There's no side effects.
Correct.
So go to phenomenaltea.life and get yours ASAP.
Yeah. And this here, it doesn't matter how old you are, it can work. Sometimes young people don't have it. Sometimes old people have it. But you know me. No, us, we don't crack. We don't crack. We age differently. Hey, bro, why do people age badly, bro? I saw a picture. We are closing, bro. I saw a picture of my classmates. Bro, these niggas aged like mud. Like mud, lad. Look at you. This guy, you see, is aged like Hennessy Imperial. Paradise XO. Top shelf in the mahogany box. Why are you going to age yourself badly like this now? Take this tea so you can be younger.
Phenomenal,
so the blood can flow.
Tea.
Phenomenal tea.
You got to be phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Not just in the bedroom, mm-hmm. but in all aspects of your life.
Because testosterone is not about just delivering
it's
penis.
Not just,
delivering. Sex.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also like it helps your charisma. I don't know. Somebody was talking about it in one podcast about the negative drawbacks of serial masturbation
because uh-huh.
you're losing sperm.
Exactly.
You're losing sperm.
You're losing.
You need it as a man
your
for your energy, for your presentation,
confidence,
your confidence,
everything.
And everything. And I'll tell you, the more you use this, when you walk into a room, if you're a single man, women can tell this man's iPhone charges a lot and they're attracted more to you.
Exactly. So go get yours, phenomenaltea.life.
Thank you all for listening to us again. And, is there anything else you want to share?
That's it.
That's it. That's it for today. Live, love, and have a good life. We're here at North Seattle. If you're a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur or a creative, please reach out to us if you want to be a guest of the show. We'd like to have you on the show. Thank you, my brother, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. See you later, man.
Peace.
All right.
All right.
What was that?